It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Yes, you better expect something wonderful. Hi, everybody. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live April 1st. 2024, 9 a.m. in where I am. It's 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? Happy April Fools. Happy April 1st. Thank you for not doing any pranks on this day. Y'all know I hate pranks. I hate them. I don't know how to deal with them. I'm completely incompetent. And I have no sense of humor unless I'm directing it. So I did some major pranks when I was young last week, but wanted to welcome all of you to the show on this Capricorn moon. We have to have some levity, do we not? If you're new to the show, please come over to 12radio.com or get that app. Just download the app. It's called 12radio.com. It has the com in it, 12radio.com. And, check it out. See the it just plays automatically. It's pretty fun. And if you otherwise go to 12radio.com and click that chat link on the left hand side, and it'll bring you over to this amazing room where Jay has put up my banner, and about a few people have commented this morning. I'm coming in to see you guys and say hi. If you hit that comments button on the, if you hit the comments button down there, see, and I'm already, mine's already frozen up, so I'm hitting refresh. So I can say just good morning to anybody that dared come in today and say hi. You don't have to say anything when you come to the room. You can really just, watch, you know. I think it's called lurking. In the old days, it was called lurking. So, I'm hitting view more comments, and in that I hit it. I had to hit all comments because Facebook was programmed by a 4-year-old. Lynn, thank you for being here. Hi, Terry Campbell. Good to see you. So nice of you to come by. Renee is in the house. Tiffany is in the house. How you doing, Tiff? Nadine's here. Hi, Nadine and Tara. Moriana, thank you for being here. Truly, it's good to have you. Ali Shea, I do not like pranks. Someone always gets hurt. You know, someone should have told me that when I was in high school, because I was a horrible prankster. And then it's sort of like I am now with Saturn in the first house for me. It's like, I don't know how to be when someone pranks on me. I don't know. It's like I'm like, do I take it seriously? Do I laugh? What if they're real? Da, da, da. So thank you. Happy April Fools. Today is the start of what I celebrate as the Mercury retrograde. Now, some of you just will never get over it, and I love it. It's okay. Because what's the point in getting support from our metaphoric universe out here, rotating rocks and spinning rocks? What's the point in letting them help us feel better? Letting them slow us down when it's time to slow down. Letting them reflect to us. Remember, they're not doing anything. Mercury ain't doing anything. It's a metaphor of what's already happening inside of you. Why are you complaining about that? You already in this cycle plan on moving a little inward. And then those of you that already have a built-in complex against anything or any push against looking inward, you're probably going to be pushing outward. And then another part of you is breaking things to slow you down so you can blame Mercury. It's just such a gift. I can't understand all the complaint. So technology, whatever, it goes bad sometimes. When it isn't a retrograde, people are like, is it a retrograde? No, and no comment. But when it is a retrograde, it's like, aha, see? I told you. This is a horrible time. So You can play that fiddle if you want. I'm not like, okay, look, I'm anti-affirmation. I mean, I don't like lying to myself. I don't like telling myself something's wonderful that doesn't feel very good. Telling myself that I am a child of the universe and everything I do is loving and supportive. It, none of that feels right to me ever, and sometimes maybe a little. But I'm not saying don't believe in something positive. I'm saying you don't have to, like, I don't like lying to myself if I'm not feeling it. Because how are you going to fix something if you don't bring it up? If you bring it forward, how are you going to not fix it? You got some stuff going on? Let's look at it. You hate that person? Let's look at it. But no, I have to stop and say, well, it's not really hate. It's a strong dislike. I'm like, right, really? Just hate on somebody right now. Let's get it through the process so we can get to what the truth is. Because what you're going to find out, if you can at least stay with that long enough, is that's just hurt. You got hurt. And if we can deal with what it really is, we can deal with it. We can fix it. We can heal it. But you can't just pretend it ain't there. How you going to fix it if you ain't broken? I'm so broken. And I'm proud of it. Because I can look and see this piece needs to be taken care of a little bit over here. So we can go through all the Zen koans and all the positive stuff all you want all day long. It's fine. That makes you feel better. But once in a while, and I'm asking you during this Mercury retrograde time to let this be one of those times, once in a while, it pays to think that maybe you've thought about it wrong. Maybe if the planets really aren't doing anything to us, they're just reflecting a certain psychological state that we can use as a metaphor like anything out here is. You remember, projection makes perception. Everything that comes out of your eyeballs or out of your mind that you interpret the world around you is filtered through something that you can't see. So the planets are sort of saying, well, we'll show you a little bit what's going on. Not always what's coming, but it's not details like that, but it's a filter and it can show what's coming. But in a, we always mess that stuff up. Oh, I'm having a Saturn return. Oh, it's a Mercury. That's great. Oh, we love that stuff. Don't you? Don't y'all love that stuff? You know, I am the first to tell you that just going to the negative is kind of dark and fun, right? I see that in people all the time. They try to say the good thing, but they're feeling the bad thing. And the minute you let them open up that door to the bad thing, they're like, oh yeah, me too. I agree. They are terrible. We all do it. But you got to know that you're doing it if you want to be okay with it. You can't sit there and tell yourself you're some sweet angel, loving child of God, and harbor all this hatred and then go, well, how? Okay, so if you're telling yourself that, which I believe we are, honestly, but if you're telling yourself that to feel better, but you're harboring a lot of anger, hurt, and pain, how do you square those? Because if you're a child of God, and you're loving, you're nothing but love. And for how do you square having hatred and hurt in your heart? It's hard. So don't do it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I've been thinking a lot about it, obviously. Now, Mercury is about to stop. That's what's happening today, about 3:00 Pacific time. It's about to stop in its tracks and it's going to go backwards slowly. And Mercury is sort of like the god of our mind, the god of the brain, the god of connections, the god of communication, the god of... I'm so glad you all don't have video of me right now. I look a mess. It's hard to stay beautiful, I'm telling you. Okay, so the Mercury, this god of communication, right? So we use Mercury as the metaphor of how we see the world, because the mind puts together the world. And the mind also is what Mercury is like, what helps us communicate, like how we talk to another person. Mercury is all the little, It's a trickster, you know. It's like the historic trickster, which is why I think it's funny that during the retrograde, so many things get tricky. And every time I say it's not a bad retrograde, it turns out to be like something breaks. And then I go, you have to tell the truth about that. You know something broke. And yeah, I don't tell y'all when it breaks in it's non-Mercury retrograde, but I guess I feel I have to tell you if it breaks during a retrograde. Nothing broke so far, but you know, the day is young, and the week is young, and the month is young. We have 3 weeks. I'm not worried about that, though. Why? What are we so obsessed about? Something breaking or something breaking down? If it breaks down, you fix it, right? It's like you don't just sort of take no responsibility for it, okay? Oh, wait a minute. Terry Campbell just said National Home Baked Bread Month. Everybody, make sure you get your share. National Home Baked Bread Month. Is that true? I can't tell people April Fool me all the time. Lynn Goldberg, love back at you. Thank you so much. Okay, hold on. Let me refresh real quick because I know it's morning and people are sort of rolling in. And I see, let me see. Hi, Maureenia. Renee, happy April Fool's Day and Mercury retrograde. Mark and Francie, keeping it positive. This is very sweet. Patricia, welcome. Lynn, thanks. Laura, thank you. Hey, Nadine. Okay, see, in North Carolina, look at that flower she posted. All right, so see, this stuff is all crazy on Facebook because it's going backwards. So now I'm looking at the early posts at the bottom and the newest post at the top. It's okay. I know why. I just don't want to miss saying hi when I take these little breaks. So let me indulge just for a minute. Hi, Charlene. She's enjoying Aries energy, she said. That's good. Linus, ooh, the energy's interesting. Linus is giving a special shout out to Jay. I missed your show last week and I listened to the replay and just have to reply to the comments you made about mean Libras. Holy crap, I have a mean Libra in my life and I'd rather be covered in honey and stay on a okay, I'm sorry. I'd rather be covered in honey and staked in on a fire ant hill than to have be near this person. She's a Scorpio sun, Aries moon with tail between my legs. That is so cute. Okay. Yeah, I did kind of rag on my Libra buddies because they're in the inanimate object of the zodiac. I'm sorry. They can be icy. If you ever seen Libra at work, it's like, wow, it's kind of magic. Where is that coming from? Just such objectivity and such kindness and stuff. And then, woo, Lord, okay, good for you. All right, okay, all right. I totally blew my train of thought, but it's okay. The train is very short, so it'll come back around. I'm sure it will. All right, now, so we've got, you know, I'm not asking you just to tell yourself Mercury's a good thing. It's a good thing. I don't care. Honestly, what I do care about is getting you to the truth of it. It's not a thing that happens to you. It's showing you what's happening inside of you already. You're already getting ready to pull in. And it is in Aries. I was going to tell you when this all started. So it's in Aries at 27 degrees. And the reason I tell you the degrees is you can look at your chart if you've been studying this at all and find that little point where 27 is. You'll know what area of your life it most affects. And then it goes down to 15. So this is over, I mean, the 24th of April, it's over. Big wah, okay? And what's over is not it, but the process of all of us taking a slowdown to sort of check in. Now, how you do that is your business. Some of you check in by checking out. Some of you check in by going to work. Some of you check in by, you know, finishing up your taxes. Who knows? But you're going to check in. Now, you could do yourself a service by being aware of what you're checking into, being aware of what your circumstance looks like, being aware of where you are, just being aware. Okay, where am I? How I feel? Instead of this thing, like there's a train coming down, it's called Mercury retrograde, and I'm in the tunnel, and there's no light, but it's a train. I mean, you know, or that you're hoping it isn't a train, whatever the metaphor is. But the idea is that the more you know about what's going on, the more the observer can kick in and sort of guide you. So what's going on is you, not Mercury, you are starting to pull in. You're starting to say, okay, I have some to figure out, okay? Now, this is a Capricorn moon, so this is really a sobering day. This is one that's a little more real. It might feel a little more scary for some of you, but it is a time when Mercury goes, okay, all those plans I made, all those things I want to do, I'll take a look at, and let's see if I really want to do them. So a lot of things are going to get, like if you initiated something today, it'll probably be done by the next Mercury retrograde, or maybe sooner, but it will be reviewed, and it may not be the same thing because you're initiating when you're pulling out. Okay, you're initiating when you're pulling in. You should be pulling in. You're initiating out. Okay, sorry for that weird confusion. So now, the good thing about a metaphor like Mercury moving backwards is you get to blame it for everything that goes wrong for the next 24 days. Everything that messes up, you're free and clear from. Why are you complaining about this planet? You don't have to take responsibility for anything for the next 24 days. Isn't that wonderful? Well, that was just me under a retrograde. Sorry. Oh, sorry. That was just... My car broke down under the retrograde. I didn't change the oil for 3 years. It chooses the retrograde to break down. Damn, Mercury. See? You get to blame it. You're free and clear. Scot-free. Everything. Everything you say for the next 3 weeks, you get a blank check for. Isn't that nice? Now complain about it more so I can come at you. Okay. I jest. I do. I kid you. All right, I'm seeing a lot of activity on the page. Just let me reload it real quick. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've been studying. Hold on, top comments. We go to all comments. It's a little trick, I think. All right, and then Jennifer's in the house. Hi, Jennifer. Lakshmi Dove. She's an advisor at 1-2, as is Terry Campbell. Good morning, Mark and friends. Happy April, my favorite month. She's a little Aries, I think. Hi, Tara. Tell me about the Mercury retrograde in relation to buying or selling houses. I can do that. If you buy a house under a retrograde, guess when you're going to sell it under a retrograde, right? Trust me. I bought my house. Let me see. I bought my house in a Venus retrograde. Ooh, every appliance got replaced. It's better. I'm so glad. I found little crayons they put in the fridge to hold up their shelves. Mercury retrogrades, though, you buy a house under retrograde when it's time to sell. You want to sell it under retrograde because that's going to be the easiest time. For some reason, those jive, okay? And that's pretty much it. The rest is, it's not like always check your work twice, but if you're rushing into buying a house under a retrograde, you can bet that there's probably some things you're going to uncover. I always recommend. Thank you, Joni. I see you. Karen Erickson, did you say you're sending us all bread? Oh, you all crack me up. Yes, I would if I could. I just baked 4 loaves yesterday with einkorn, wheat germ, and this sort of grade A85 flour from Central Milling, which is where I get my flour from. I sound like such a professional, don't I? They came out pretty sweet, though. The wheat germ's amazing. And on the one we just experimented with, instead of rolling it in sesame seed, I rolled it in the everything bagel spice that I got from Trader Joe's. Oh, my God. It was good, I have to tell you. Okay, where's my Ozempic when I need it? Okay. All right. No judgment on that either. I'm excited because... I think we're in a new era of a gift from Neptune in Pisces. And I'm going to talk about that too with all these drugs that are kind of, I think they're groundbreaking, breakthrough drugs. Okay, where was I? Oh, you guys just have such a way of getting me off track. Okay, see, I could, oh no, Mercury, what are you doing again? Getting me off track. See, it works. It's so much fun. All right. Now, Okay, so we have now until the 24th when it stops again and then it goes forward, but it's still these clunky movements. I think the hardest time under the retrograde, personally, or any planet, when it stops. And is it really stopping? Come on, right? No, we're passing it in such a way that it looks like it's not moving. Okay, and then it'll keep going. Now, next week is the eclipse. By the way, order some glasses for yourself if you don't have them. It'll be the last one, I think, in my lifetime, which may mean two more for you guys. No, I'm just teasing. But it's not going to be for a while. I think like 40 years maybe for the next one. So if you got some glasses and can go stare at the sun and then you stare at it while it's happening with the glasses, and then the minute it's a full eclipse, you can rip those glasses off and look at the beautiful darkness of the sun. If you're in a place where it's a complete eclipse, you all can figure that out. But that's next week. So last week we had the eclipse in Libra, which is why I was talking about Libra so lovingly. And then in next week we have it in Aries. So you can bet we're going to get earful about Aries too, right? So we also get to talk about these eclipses and what kind of things they plant for us to carry with us for the rest of the, well, a lot of people say 6 weeks. There's a few astrologers that are like, eclipses are no different than and, you know, whatever. Everything is a metaphor. And I think these metaphors are big, so they can say blah if they want. But I'm telling you, consciousness changes in such a way that you notice it's like pain. When you're in pain for whatever reason, like your, you know, baby toe hurts or something, it's all you can think about. But when it's gone, you're like doing your whole thing. Go, oh my God, I just remembered I'm not in pain. It's like you forget about pain pretty quickly. So the planets remind me of that. Like our consciousness changes really fast. You could have a focus of something that's been just bugging you, and all of a sudden it just lifts away. It just dissolves. And so that is how the planets, that's how our change in consciousness works, which is why I think you can look back at an eclipse and go, yeah, I didn't notice anything then. But, you know, you would have, if you kind of stay present at the time with what these things are doing, you can kind of notice that. I like, if those of you that are really good at keeping journal, I joined Apple's journal thing, and it's like, I said, this is a great way. It gives you pictures. It's, you know, no one can break into an Apple, so I can tell my awfulest secrets. And yeah, so it bugs me. It goes, you haven't left a journal note in 4 months. Like, okay, what do I say? Nothing's different. Same, you know, new day, same story, right? It's like, whatever. But if I was savvy enough to notice the shifts in mood, like what is the thought that sort of niggles at me all day long? And then I get a show or I get a distraction and I get to talk, but then I go back to what? That place. Is it money? Is it the IRS? Every time, every spring, it tortures me. It really does. It tortures me because I dread mowing the lawn. Here's the things I dread. Thinking about mowing the lawn. Mowing the lawn, nah, not so bad. Thinking about it, oh, and I have a lawn. And then the taxes. I get this insane fever to move. Like, insane. Like, I keep telling myself, if you have to move, if for no other reason than to shake things up. And I love where I live. Why would I do that to myself? I don't know. But every spring, here it comes. Bugs come back to life. Flies seem to manifest out of thin air. Even though at my altitude, we are blessed with very minimal bugs. It's so true. You can't hardly find a flea caller. But it's still, you know. And then when I think about moving, it's like, well, it has to be a high altitude so I can enjoy my bugless life. My problems are so rich and heavy. Lawn mowing, moving, urges to move. It's terrible. The IRS, always a big one. So but if you noticed nuances like that, if you noticed what the thought that was just niggling in your brain day in and day out or whatever. You wake up in the morning and what's the first thing on your mind? And you're noticing that that carries a theme. And then as the day goes on, it's like a dream. It kind of dissolves and you forgot what you were worried about. And the next morning might be the same thing. And it's almost like at this time, I am this person with these thoughts. At this time, I'm this person with these thoughts. So wouldn't it be kind of wise to try to capture them? And then when you're doing a reading for somebody astrologically and you say, what happened this, you expect them to know based on the myriad of moods that occur and memory shortages that occur in the complete cycle of a day? Well, it makes sense. So when you tell someone what, like I do this all the time, I'm horribly guilty of it, is what happened in 2012? Really? I mean, I had 4,000 things happen from when I opened my eyes this morning until when I got to this radio show. I remember an entire year that was 12 years ago? Forget it. So journaling can be a little bit of marker, like a place to put some major events that happen. But whatever. The point is, it's fluid and it moves. And so these eclipses do have a place for you. They have an event that occurs. It's been in Libra. The last one was in Libra. Wherever you have Libra, it's my 12th house. Where is it for you? And that is where you want to focus. So what I've been focusing on, it was my 12th house, right? The eclipse. Really the 11th. So, but it rules the 12th. So I'll do both. That's how you do it. So I'll look at both. So friendships. Constant state of evaluation there. Except for my lifelong friends, which I have a few, actually. And in general, yeah, that, and I've been studying complexes, like literally astrological complexes, things that exist within us, like the Oedipus complex. I've been studying these archetypal images that we all carry, and they form struggles for us, but they lay below the surface of awareness. And I'm really deep into this right now, but it's like depending on how your planets are designed, like how they relate to each other, and especially where Saturn is, we take these complexes, they call them father complexes because the planets basically mythologically, there's very few feminine planets, but I'll get into that. They're still mother complexes, trust me. But the father complex is where we're projecting out into the world unconsciously events that relate to how these planets are related in our chart. So if you have Saturn in a really hard aspect with the sun, and we're studying father complexes specifically now. So if you have Saturn, and you don't have to understand this, and I won't get into detail, don't get glazed over, but those, if you have a conflicting Saturn with a personal planet, then you unconsciously, and it is below the surface of your awareness, it are kind of driven by this complex. So it's really interesting. It's fascinating. You're driven to create relationships maybe with a boss or an authority figure that mimic that aspect in the chart. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of fun. Now, before we do our, what is it when you project our, like, I don't want the... I don't want to project onto you, like I see that in your chart and that's who you are, right? So what you try to do is you understand it from a point of view of some examples of how complex these complexes will show up for different people in different ways. And it's helpful because when somebody offers you a complaint about their life, if you go to the complex, if you go to the struggles that might exist within the chart, you can maybe make a distinction and siphon out some of the direct line. Self-fulfilling prophecy was what I was looking for. You want to not do that to people, right? You don't want to talk about your theories out loud. You just want to see if there's a struggle where it might match up in the chart and try to put that together. All right, I've talked a lot. Let me see how y'all are doing. West Virginia comes out every now and then, doesn't it? Okay, hold on. Here it comes. I got to click comments and then I click all comments. And then I find you. And there we go. Okay, so scrolling down. Oh, a lot of you. Thank you. Should we expect a lot of ranting in this Aries area? Are you guys... Trying to make me laugh or what? Yes, you should expect a lot of ranting, especially with Mercury retrograde, because we're blaming Mercury, right? We're blaming Mercury and we're angry. So put it together. Oh my God, that's so funny. Terry, I always enjoy the show. Thank you, Terry. I love that. Thank you. The eclipse isn't that significant here. I will check it out online. Oh, in terms of visibility, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. You might be. Yeah, you got to know that for yourself. You're right. In 2015, I bought glasses from this company and they were legit. Oh, rainbowsymphony.com. Thank you, Tiff. Tiff, one of our resident Virgos, taking care of us. Hey, Kay, thank you for being here. Kay Dragon's in the house. She has a show on Thursdays. She's switching up partners. She was with Peggy. Peggy's going to take a minute and then come back with her show. This is all done amicably and lovingly. And then Kay's going to introduce Maureen, who is a new advisor at One to Listen. Terry, speaking of Ozempic, researchers in Spain programmed AI to evaluate thousands of plants looking at plant-based Ozempic, and they found success. Two plant combinations discovered and patented eliminated Ozempic side effects. Go AI and creativity. Look at Terry. Terry's always up on that stuff. What sign is she? Gemini. Really? Yeah, I always ask and answer my own questions too. I have Venus in Gemini. Tiffany, beware that Apple computers are shipped with the firewall off. Okay, more good info from Tiff. When you do get glasses, they will have an approved and a serial number on the side of them. They'll be a very legal, legit thing on the side, so look for those. Terry says, Gemini here, been keeping a journal since I was 16. I said you were Gemini before I looked here, Terry. I was 16, yes, helpful, but you got to be into it. You know, I know people who have kept journals their whole lives. Now I want to go burn their journals and ask them what they remembered just because it might incriminate me. I was a brat. Moriana, my grandmother is finally home. After 2 stays in the hospital, she sounds sharp. Oh, I love it. I think you asked us to hold a space for her last week. I love it. And she sounds sharp. Good, good. Using this eclipse energy. Give her massive hugs from all of us, please. That's so great. I love good news like that. I just do. And see, it happened when Mercury was stopped. So now we're going to see this evolution. And Moriana, you keep us posted on how you're holding up as well. Okay. So I know a lot of people are making big changes. A lot of people I know are separating from their partners. A lot of people I know are giving birth. It's weird. A lot of people I know are second guessing everything they've ever done in their life. And more unusually so than normal. I mean, I do think it's, I think, you know, as time just moves, it's like this treadmill of time. Things do seem to speed up. It's really weird. But I do know that, and I wanted to explain, because I did attach the chart, today's chart, for you guys to look at in the email. So please do get on the email. Please do get on the, go to 12house.com and sign up. It's really how we know how well we're doing, the health of the group that's here. You get 3 postcards a week at the most, maybe 4. They're very simple, easy. You can delete them, but subscribe and make sure you're subscribed. You get the Power Peak password every week sent to you. So it's very helpful. Now, if you look at what's happening in the sky, and I do want to talk about this time period, Neptune is in its ruler Pisces. When a planet is in the sign that it rules, it's very powerful, and it has been powerful. And it's at the very late degrees. It's like 28 degrees of Pisces. It's going to change in 2 degrees and go into Aries. Now, it's been here for 14 years, just about as long as they've been studying Ozempic and these drugs. The thing about these drugs, these GLP-1s, I act like I know what I'm talking about, but they are simulating glucose receptors in the body. And so when this brilliant thing where it's adding receptors, so it also tells the fat cells, hey, you don't need any more storage, you know, you need to let go. Or it bridges the blood-brain barrier, and it sort of like creates a feeling of fullness that tells the brain, like, let's really look at this objectively. So it's adding more of a similar, if not like it's a carbon copy clone of a hormone that most of us have already. And what they're finding out, and so exciting for a lot of people, is that obesity was not a matter of starving yourself and exercise. Obesity was something happening inside the body and the brain. And this is correcting course. And this is like, it's been around for years, like over 20 years. This stuff has been researched and researched and researched. Now, you can be anti-drug and only want to do things organically, or like Terry just showed us, there's a plant-based version coming out. Or there's some of us that really do think there's better living through chemistry. I mean, some of us. I mean, I am cautiously optimistic in very many ways. But this does seem like, if obesity is one of the major issues. I did see Oprah virtue signaling yesterday, and it was kind of gross, but I'll talk about that in a minute. If you see if obesity is one of the biggest problems in the world, okay, and particularly in the U.S. and the number one cause of so many diseases, how does it not make sense that a drug that doesn't speed up your, that doesn't act like an amphetamine, doesn't sort of like make you, raise your blood pressure. In fact, it does all the opposite of the things that we had considered appropriate for weight loss. It changes how people actually perceive food. Literally, the people who I know that are on some of these like Zepbounds or Ozempic-like drugs, and there are two different drugs there. Ozempic is one, has a singular pathway that does a gluten, a semi-glutide that sort of lets the pancreas get more information to the pancreas and the liver, and the Zepbounds do both. They work the blood-brain barrier, and the same with the pancreas and the liver. So when you know that kind of science is happening and that we have a big killer on the loose and it's reversing that, I mean, it's kind of like a big scientific breakthrough. It's kind of like penicillin. And it probably scared a lot of people too, where penicillin was like, it's the only antibiotic they had, but it saved countless lives. So here's to the future, and like kudos to the scientific community for actually accidentally stumbling on this. This was about diabetes. And so there's a lot of people with diabetes that are grateful for this. There's a lot of people that are obese that are grateful for this. I know a few who've lost a ton of weight and have struggled their whole lives. Now, Oprah's thing was a show she had yesterday. I saw it on ABC that was shame, blame, and weight loss. And to me, it's sort of like I don't know what it is that bugs me. I do know what it is that bugs me. She had like the Weight Watchers CEO in the audience. And so it's an audience setup where she's in the middle and they do these quick camera shots to the audience who are all smiling and nodding. Nothing could feel more contrived. But it was almost like, I think it was her mea culpa that she left Weight Watchers and donated all of her shares to the Museum of Black History, whatever, which is great. But it's sort of like all this, it just felt, and you know, I hate the phrase virtue signaling, but now I'm kind of embracing it. But it was kind of like, look out, you know. And then she brought the two CEOs who invented Ozempic and Mounjaro together, the two assistant CEOs, not the actual CEOs, but like the one step down. And she said, look, they're sitting together for the first time in 100 years. And it's like, oh my God. It was just, you know, so what it was sort of like to pretend you're for all kinds of weight loss, but you're really trying to make this drug legit in your own universe. You could tell. She was all about, because she lost a lot of weight on it and gave up her position at Weight Watchers to get there. Now, I don't have her millions, I don't have her billions, and I can't walk in her shoes. So I can't really... hold her too much accountable because I don't know a lot. I'm just telling you from out here what it felt like. it just felt like you have an agenda. You're trying to make this okay and safe. Now, because I like the idea of what these drugs do, I like the message, right? But I'm also able to see that the message feels a little contrived and a little bought. Like, how do you get the CEOs just to sit in that audience together? It has to do with a lot of money, I guess, right? And I would love to know, like, how much did they pay you to get there? Because they're wealthy in their own right. But they sat next to each other, and it was, made it a big deal. And then she had this special broadcast on from a doctor who talked about, you know, how this stuff works and what the studies were. And then she threw in one woman who couldn't tolerate the drugs and gave her equal time. And it was, so it was great. I mean, it was, you know, okay, good, but still, I had an issue with it. Now, Neptune being at the latest degree of Pisces, that's going to be the gift. We get that when the planet goes to 29, I think it leaves us a little egg, Easter egg, let's so to speak, for lack of a better phrase, or more appropriate for the timing. It leaves us a gift. And like Pluto, when it enters a sign, it just entered Aquarius, so you want to look for the gift that Pluto's going to bring. And this is its third time, but it's not the final, it's not the permanent one. So in other words, it's now in Aquarius, but it's going to go back into Capricorn in November for about 2 months and then forever into Aquarius, or at least, whatever, 14, 15 years. So Neptune's going to end its time in Pisces, and we're seeing this drug thing happen, right? I mean, pharmaceutical companies are kind of taking over the world. These commercials are ridiculous. Why do you still need Ozempic commercials if you're already the word in whatever? So you want your doctor, you want the people watching these to nag their doctors even more? Is that, I don't understand. But they have a butt ton of money, right? And so they get to use it for that. I guess it's not illegal in America to have pharmaceutical commercials. It is illegal in the UK. It might be illegal in Canada, too. All right. I'm sorry for ranting, but I do want you to pay attention to these planets that are leaving signs. Neptune leaving Pisces here. I'll get a date for that. It's not like immediate around the corner, but it is close. Let me see here. It is going to be Neptune. It starts entering Aries. Well, its first entrance into Aries, and it will again be very much like Pluto is. Okay, there's an instance in March. Okay, so it's going to be in Pisces until the end of the year, and then it'll start tipping its toe into Aries. So we're at the final stages of a 14-year journey for Neptune. Pretty amazing. This week we have Mars and Saturn coming together. And I'm telling you, people, I'll just say, if you have issues with authority or power, or you feel like you're stuck, this is kind of like having one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake at the same time. And it's happening for everybody. It's in Pisces. So I want you to pay attention to your feelings of frustration that might occur, because the other side of this is actually getting a handle on some anger, which you could do. Saturn can control Mars. So you might find yourself readjusting some anger, but there, we have an eclipse in Aries coming up. We have Mars connecting to Saturn coming up. That's in about 5 days, right around the time of the eclipse. I should forward this to see if I look ahead. I'm going to look ahead for the days and see how far Mars goes before the eclipse. Okay, this is the 5th, 6th. So today it would be the 8th is the eclipse. Yeah, Mars. Wow. Okay. Yeah, Mars is still going to be just 2 degrees away from Saturn during the eclipse in Aries. So Mars is the ruler of Aries. So what I do think this is the sort of builds a crescendo of energy. And it's exciting because it's already happening. So you're now inside of you. It's already brewing. It's not because it's happening in the planets. Now you get to see where this stuff is building up to. Like, what is it building toward? It'll be 2 degrees away at the day of the eclipse. Man, that's close. So that's a Mars-Saturn conjunction in Neptune. The eclipse will be in Aries. Venus will be in Aries at the time of the eclipse. The North Node will be in Aries at the time of the eclipse. The Sun, obviously, will be in Aries at the time of the eclipse. Chiron will be in Aries at the time of the eclipse. and Mercury will be in Aries at the time of the eclipse. Jupiter and Uranus will be coming closer together in Taurus. Woo! It's powerful. I mean, I'm going to have some fun researching this a little bit, but we're going into spring with a bang. And because Mercury's retrograde, aren't you kind of glad you got the planet of words and thinking and everything on an inward journey to during this time of big Aries energy? You've got to be grateful for some of this stuff. It's crazy. Now, Venus and Neptune will be together. This week is one of the most powerful ask for what you want weeks. If you are wherever Pisces is in your chart, if you care about that, but otherwise in the next 3 days between now and, let's see, this is Monday, between now and Friday, this entire week, if you want something, ask for it. If you dream something, dream big. If there's just a desire you have, hold it close and expect to get it. And I would also suggest use the gratitude board at 12listen.com. It's anonymous. Go put in there a thank you note for what you're hoping for, but act like you already got it. It's a trick. And, you know, the universe loves a trick. And Mercury loves a trick. And so you all know the trick. And it is to say thanks, even if it hasn't happened yet, because it invokes a sense of trust. Now, we just said earlier, I hate lying and I hate affirmations because it seems like sometimes they lie. This is a little different. This is a trick you're doing consciously. You're not trying to believe it. You're not trying to write it over and over and over like it's true. You're simply saying to the universe, I know I don't have it yet, but I know it's coming and I want to thank you. Or to God or to whoever you give your thanks to. Your higher self, whatever. And that's at 12listen.com, 12listen.com. Go put a little anonymous note in there, and you can put your name too. I don't care. We don't track any of it. So I'm not lying to you. We don't track any of it. It's a simple little program that says it automatically puts anonymous in the thing, but it lets you change that if you want. And then you just type what you're thankful for. That's it. What else? There's nothing to be afraid of, except it's a place for you to anchor in gratitude. And it's a place for you to anchor in a belief that what you want is deserving of getting, that you're deserving of getting what you want. So good on you for that. Let's see what else is happening. So Venus this week, remember, send your wishes out. Mercury retrograde starts today at 3:14. Why not do a little moment, take a moment and have some things happening there. And then, here's this. Venus goes into Aries on Thursday the 4th. Now, anytime, I want you to make these dates. Here's why I think these are important. Venus going into Aries is a change of sign. Okay, so that means basically any day that a planet changes signs, energy can feel wonky that day, right? Mercury's stopping today, so it can feel wonky. So if you guys go, well, I never feel good on the retrograde, it could be that today it's wonky. It has stopped. It'll be stopped tomorrow. Doesn't mean you have to feel funny, but it's sort of like the energy is stopped. It literally, we're passing it in the degree stays at whatever it is, 27, 27, 27 for a few days. Then it starts moving again. Okay, so Venus is going to change signs Thursday late night. Friday could be a weird adjustment to that, but then we're in full glory for the weekend. Venus will officially be in Aries, and we're heading toward an amazing new moon eclipse. Please remember, new moons come with a sense of dread sometimes because the moon's getting darker. It's coming in front of the sun. And what makes this an eclipse is the exactness of the moon in front of the sun causing a shadow to be cast on the earth. So we have actual friends. We have actually people we know that are following the shadow of the moon on the earth. So we'll have a few friends that are, I think they're going to Indiana. I don't know, wherever. And they're tracking they're going to be under the shadow of that eclipse. So when the world gets dark in that moment, like remember in Ben-Hur or Barabbas, the eclipse, it went dark, and it was like and they just knew it was like there was an omen happening. that people get to actually see that. We'll see it too. It'll get dark here, and then it'll come back. It's just crazy fun. A lot of magic. So I hope I'll get the times of the eclipse, but I hope it's not during the show, but I think we'll be fine next week this time. Be sure to leave your comments, questions. Go to 1-2-listen.com. Free minutes were sent out to all the current users of 1-2-listen to be allowed to talk to some of the finest advice givers on the planet. They're amazing. 12-listen.com. Please treat yourself. You can do chat, video, or phone. They work hard to be there for you. So anybody listening to this that knows a friend that might need some support, it's a great way to dip your toe. Okay. Hey, listen, it was a joy talking to all of you. I feel like I should do one quick refresh, make sure there's no burning questions. Somebody goes, darn. But let me see real quick. Okay. And see, now here's the steps. Refresh, click comments, and then click top comments, and then click all comments. All that just to see who's posting. See, that it's Facebook, really. 14. That's what I say. All right. Terry agrees with me. Yeah, I get you, Terry. I mean, it's just weird. Okay, let's see. Thank you. I will, when I see her in 23 days on her birthday, the big 100. It's Moriana. I've been saying Moriana. I'm sorry. That's amazing. Her grandmother's going to be 100. Oh, dude, give her big old hugs from all of us. Pamela Snow, I'm going with the blame Mercury retrograde for everything. Why not take a load off? Works for me. Right on, Pamela. I love it. Okay. Hi, Penny. Welcome. Okay. Let's see. March 30th, Neptune goes into Aries. So 1 year from yesterday, Neptune enters Aries. So we have a year. And watch the gifts that start pouring in. Neptune on my midheaven, Moriana. That's mother. And grandmother, it's beautiful. And that's the magic. And that's your tie. It's beautiful. There are drug commercials in Canada. My doctor doesn't want me on Ozempic because you need to stay on it. She wants me to make shifts on my own. Okay, good for her. Good for you. Whatever. Let me see. If you've struggled with it, I get it. But it does, people that I know that are on it, you get to go down to like once a month just for the, but it supposedly takes away a lot of the mental crazy that makes it difficult for people to lose weight. But Tara, you and your doctor, I support you 100%. That sounds like Oprah, right? No, but you be you. No blame, no shame. Terry Campbell says, I'm not a doctor. Saturn dries things out, so keep up your B2 levels. Shows up with rashes, dry skin, dry patches on the skin. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for my amazing new job with a great set. Okay, so Moriana, you take that message over to 12Listen, 12listen.com. At the very bottom on the left-hand side, it says leave a gratitude message, and that's where it gets empowered. It scrolls, and all the advisors go and read it. That's beautiful. That's exactly the thing we want. And then Tiffany says, how would you look at a new client interview tomorrow during the retrograde? A new client. I would expect them... I think it might be awkward, Tiff. If you're being the interviewer, you might notice that they might be awkward, or it might be a little stiff because it's the first day of Mercury going direct. So I'd plan maybe a follow-up with them, or it could be amazing and they could be like the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But I do think interviews are interesting because you might want a second look. Not because it's a retrograde so much as the stopping of Mercury tomorrow is kind of, it can make us feel a little wonky. Okay, you guys, listen, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned for Christina LaFrance, followed by Lori Love. And I think Jamie Dunn is still doing her shows on Monday, but she might be at her 9 mystery school. And thank you for everything. Happy eclipse week, new moon week. Mark Husson's Astrology Hour.